All right, guys, welcome in. Sean here on Unpaid, along with Adam Sager, Coach JV, for his regular Monday visit. Sigs and I will be rolling right through this here in about 15 minutes, but let's get JV on Triple E as well and Laura behind the scenes. For our audience on Rumble, it's not up live. Well, then that's sorry. They'll get that worked out. But we go on because we do good stuff, and you can check with them about the technology. But go to YouTube, go to iTunes, go to the Spotify, all of the places where you know you will get it on time. So there you go. Segs, good to be with you. We got a lot to discuss today. Let's hit in with Coach JB to start it out. JB, I hate to start it in a negative way, but that's okay. A lot going on with this Mark Sanchez thing, huh? A lot of layers to it. I know you had a conversation on your stuff today, but it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better for him. Mark Sanchez, obviously, the first story that came out was reported that, you know, he had been robbed and blah, blah, blah. Then the second story came out and he was arrested in the hospital. And now that's gone from misdemeanors to a felony. There's a lot of layers to this, JB. Update us on what you know. And once again, would you like to call them shitbirds? And as a Trojan, I hate to say it, I don't know the depth of this because I'm not a journalist reporter covering it. But I can tell you this, booze, public intoxication and booze and late nights past 12:30 don't match. Never go well together. I can't fathom he's keeping his gig. But then again, I don't make those decisions. But what a dumb way to go about your business, and what a poor decision. What do you know, JB? And welcome in on a Monday after another average week and some really big upsets in football. Right?
Horrible. Yeah, man. A good friend of ours had a friend with him that. They had dinner apparently. And then afterwards he said he was kind of like off of his rocker the whole night. He said he seemed off. And then, this report came out. So listen, looks like he just did something that you just can't do, man. Like, it doesn't make sense. You're in the limelight. You've already made $50, $60 million in your career. You're a big, TV name and face. And now you've been hit with a level 5 felony, for basically attempted murder. The 69-year-old man's gashed up pretty good. Apparently he protected himself by stabbing Mark when he wouldn't leave him alone. And, unfortunate, man, to see something like this right here from our backyard, watching him, grow up and play here in SoCal. But I haven't heard a lot of great things about the man, personally, mutual friend. So it doesn't shock me either, but at the same time, goddamn, I don't get the foolishness of this. I don't.
Foolishness, JV. I mean, people make mistakes, but this is not something you can't control. This is something you can control. Like I said, this is all reporting from a distance. I think we're a society that works too quick to get things first as opposed to get things right. And we didn't even get this right from the beginning. The initial reports, it was not right. But we are in it, and most of our people who do this inside, you know, this investigation stuff are damn good at it around they really are. But at times, especially when it's something like this, this isn't transaction. This is somebody getting stabbed in the chest and a celebrity involved. And we seem to always err on the side of protecting the celebrity. But a lot of times the celebrity's at fault. Am I right or wrong here? I can't say a lot of times, but at times. And I understand. I just want it right. And sources are sources. And the people who cover it do one hell of a job covering it. But this story's gone a million different ways in about three days. And, you know, putting Brady Quinn in a position as well to go on there and do a great job, considering he had no preparation going into this other than his knowledge of football. It's just a bad look for everybody involved. And I think we're further away. I mean, there's more that's going to happen deeper than getting this done right away. There's some stuff that's going to go a lot deeper than this. They're going to dive into this deeper, I would imagine, JP, right? The extent of this thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They're going to have to do something. He could have been fired on his day off at the end of the day, though, right out of a movie, right? Probably fired after this, I'm sure. May do a lot of jail time. We don't know what's going to happen there. And then basically your reputation as a good old boy, let's just be honest, that's what everyone thought he was. Now it looks like maybe he was the aggressor and the shitbird, like you said, in this thing. And that's what my thumbnail was today. Mark Sanchez is a shitbird was my thumbnail for my show. So it is what it is, man. A lot of people out there put their foot in their mouth. They all made accusations and thought he was attacked and other things. Hey, Looks like could be Mark Sanchez issue now, and he'll have to probably lawyer up and fight this thing if he's going to try to fight it. But at the end of the day, cameras are everywhere, Sean. You know that, and there'll probably be cameras coming out soon, and we'll probably have a visual of what happened in the next few days.
They're not going to, and those things don't lie, JB. And you know what's crazy? When you go from the M-word misdemeanor to the F-word felony, now ain't nobody bullshitting. You know, all's fun and games until that F-word comes out. Then you got a real issue. I mean, let's say, hey, let's look at it this way. Let's be grateful that that knife wound didn't go a little bit further towards the chest. The guy's dead. Okay. That looks pretty severe there, and he's walking. But good gracious, putting yourself in that position, walking down the street, could have ended a lot worse for him, Segs. I mean, JB, it really could have. And we'll talk to Segs about it. All right, let's move on. So more to come, obviously. People are going to follow this closely. I'm glad I'm not a reporter on this, JB. Because those guys, the job you're going to have to do to dig deep and find out, but you're right. If you see the camera there, there's going to be cameras elsewhere. They're going to find out how the thing started, not just how it ended, and then everything in between. All right, let's get to football. Let me hit Saturday real quick, JB.
My Bruins.
Yeah. Dude, how about Penn State? And how about good on – I love the reaction to Rick Neuheisel, who's a friend of mine who I played against, and to see the reaction on CBS studio show – about his, you know, with Jerry going in there and calling the plays and a big win for UCLA. I was so happy. And Rick, good on you. You don't need to apologize for showing your emotion. That's your boy. And that's the first thing. That's your son. And I think it's awesome what he did. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if there's a worse loss in college football in the last couple of years than this. I know it's at home, but that building's half empty most of the time. UCLA's fired their coach. They're reeling heavy underdogs. And how about those doggone Bruins taking care of their business and staving off a Penn State comeback? Talk about overrated. University of Texas overrated. Penn State overrated. Even though Clemson win, Clemson overrated. I don't know if my Trojans, they may be overrated as well if they can't beat a good physical team. So we'll see moving forward. I'm telling you right now, JB, college football is a tough watch, and I'm not sure. There is not a quarterback, Dante Moore, maybe at Oregon. There's nobody that would sniff in the first 15 picks of this draft. Arch Manning's not ready to be a pro. He has got to stay back. And right now, the way he's playing and his offensive line blows, that football team right there, I'm not sure if the name was different if he'd be starting. And that's a bummer because I love the Mannings, but that's just a real – if we're going to compliment, we always got to be ready to criticize. They look like they're real and it's rigid, but this Penn State loss was brutal. And there's not one of those I just named that are going to sniff being in the chip this year, having a chance to win it. That's a bet. And there's losses all over the place still coming for all those teams we just named.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't see it. I thought Klubnik would be the best, most ready. He's underperformed after last year at the end of the season. Now they were playing, and I thought he was most ready, and now he looks bad. He looks like he's digressed. College football is just a quarterback wise, it's digress. I've never seen nothing like it. I don't know what we're doing in high school, youth pop Warner, 7-on-7, these personal trainer guys you and I go at. This shit is becoming real bad, watered down, and wonder why the NFL quarterback play looks as bad as it does. It's all correlation.
JB, haven't you seen more regression by the college quarterbacks that were supposed to be good than you've seen quarterbacks that were supposed to be decent that have made progress? I'm seeing more people take steps back that are supposed to be taking steps forward. Can you imagine to right now turning your franchise over to a first pick of the draft quarter? Yet somebody's going to get drafted high because just the need and the attrition at the position and the fact that you got to take quarterback. But I don't see anybody that's changing a franchise around coming in like you're seeing some of these young players do these days.
It's getting worse every year too. It's like it's getting worse and worse every year. So I don't see it. Shout out to our guy, Noel Mazzoni, who's returned to UCLA to help out young Neuheisel. So I'm going to have dinner with him on Wednesday.
I think it's awesome. And Noel, who obviously for people was a former offensive coordinator there under Jim Moore Jr. So,
yeah. And Coach Neuheisel. So, the kid. So that's good. He was, I think, walk on there
I went there to help out with and helped out with their quarterbacks. When Hundley was a quarterback, Nolan invited me out to training camp, and we went in there. And Neuheisel was his son was a walk on, and you know, like the second or third string at the time. But you could tell in the meeting room, smart guy, obviously, no shock there. And as it progressed, you go from there to being a GA, and he worked with Noel, and obviously he loved Noel and trusted him. And yep. And look at it now. Now you bring the veteran back to help him out, and Noel's a good teacher and a good RPO coach as well. So good on all that that's going on at UCLA. Couldn't be happy at UCLA. And even though they're our rival, I like seeing people that are good people successful, and this is a good place to be.
Yeah, no question. I don't know, Sean, if I ask you a poll question, like, is it a better win or a worse loss? I don't know. I don't know what it is. James Franklin, to me, I like James. I've known James a long time. That's a fireable offense.
Can't win big games, Sigs. I mean, JB, can't win big games.
Yeah, and that's not even a big game. So what did he say? Okay, we lost to Oregon. So Oregon got beat us twice, in essence. And I be honest, like, so now he had enough talk, Sean, about losing the big teams in the top five. So he says, screw it. I'm going to go lose to a bottom five team.
Right. Oh, when I said big games, I meant coming out of a huge loss.
Yeah.
If you're judging James Franklin as a good coach, you can't judge him as a great one because he doesn't win big games. And then not to have your team ready to go on the road and play against a, quite frankly, I don't know if UCLA ever had the lead in a game this year until this game. I'm not sure
they ever had a lead in the game. Only team all year long.
Right. So here we are now with UCLA taking the win. So I think it's a worse loss. As much as I want to give all the credit to UCLA, they were at home. But for Penn State to come off the loss, you know, to Oregon, and then get your ass kicked on a whiteout, and then to have this happen, it's a horrible loss. All right, let me switch to Sundays, JB.
And by the way, Sean, I'll cut you off. Penn State's D coordinator is the highest paid coordinator in college football.
Yeah, well.
Just so you know.
Yeah, well, guess what? Maybe he needs to go in and in the back door this week to pick that paycheck up. That might not be a bad idea because I got news for you. Going in the front door or put a mask on, you know, like a Halloween mask on, because picking up your check, you didn't earn that one, or donate it back to UCLA's NIL program because they basically stole your soul this week at the Rose Bowl. To Sunday, JB, we're going to get to X's and O's here in a second, and this is kind of X's and O's. As a coach that's coached good players, made average players better, enhanced the program, won winning championships, what do you do if you're Jonathan Gannon? Well, we saw his reaction. Mercado looks like he's got some skills, takes it to the house. You don't learn from somebody else's mistakes. JB, what do you do? Are you the type of guy, would you cut the guy? What message do you send that you just keep doing this selfish act of dropping the ball before you get in the end zone? Look at me, cool. And I know the kid said, you know, it was just a mistake. I made a mistake and I got to do better, basically. But where do we draw the line in sending a loud message or sending a silent one and allowing this to keep happening? What do you say to your team now, not just that team, but any team that keeps watching highlights weekly of this stuff happening? Cost this team a game. It was a big part of costing this team a game.
These kids don't watch enough football. They don't watch football. And what I mean is, macro level speaking, they don't watch football. Jonathan Taylor, maybe the best back in football right now, did this last year. Same thing. And he's one of the better backs in the NFL. My point is this. I'm a cut you guy to make an example, because the NFL running back position in particular, and running backs in particular, whether you're in youth, Pop Warner, high school, college, or pro, are expendable. I can replace a running back. Just remember, the Colts went from Edgerrin James to Adahi, and what was the other guy's name?
Joseph Adahi.
Yeah, you know that team. You know they won a Super Bowl, right, with Adahi and So like, my point is, you went from Marshall Faulk to then he goes to the Rams.
Edgerrin James,
and guess what? You can win Super Bowls and find backs all over the place. That's why they're the shortest lived position. That's why they're the underpaid position. That's why we don't renew their contracts and we just redraft the position. This is an expendable position. It's not like a quarterback. It's not like a left tackle. It's not like a three technique or a pass rusher. We can find running backs all over the place, Sean.
The NFL has sent that message, right? JB, they have loud.
So I would have set his ass at down and at least made an example, because I can replace you real easy. I don't understand it, man. I do not understand for the life of me why you just can't. I hate to cuss, but it makes you want to say, hand the ball to the fucking referee. Like, right. I don't understand it. You think CMC or Barkley or one of these guys aren't going to hand the ball to the ref, act like they've been there before? I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what the fuck are you so short for? Like,
I can't remember when I played JV, like playing with Marcus Allen at SC or playing with Eric Dickerson or playing against Barry Sanders. I don't remember a time, and maybe I'm wrong, that this was even a topic of conversation
because
it never happened. It's such a selfish low. How else am I supposed to look at you? Are you a dumb guy? Are you a dumb football player? Do you not understand what's going on? Are we allowing this stuff to happen on the – I can't imagine Jonathan Gannon allows it or either the Indianapolis Colts. I just don't get – it's such a low IQ, selfish bullshit look at me play. And I'm so tired of trying – well, it's just a young kid. We got to cut. No. Lay the football on the ground when it's knocked out of your hands. Yeah, that physical mistakes happen. Mental mistakes happen because you're new. And I ain't mad at Jonathan Gannon one bit there. I'm not.
That ain't a hit. That ain't a hit to like – that's not a
– no, like, no.
It's a fucking coaching. Yeah,
yes, it's coaching. Back in the day, they'd grab you by the jury. Nobody had a problem. It's nothing more than
that. And that right there, Sean, as he walks away, that hit right there is – you're better than that, man. Let's go. Like, that ain't even no –
it's like if he would have slapped him on – like he would have slapped him on the – you know, some guys would go by and hit him on the arm. It's like, dude, let it go. It's not like we
got – he did a lot better than me. I would have hit his ass for real. I wouldn't have been like that to him with me. I'd have been like, nah, fuck, sit your ass down.
Here's why, JB, why this bothers me so much is everybody else's career is in your hands when you do that.
Yeah, there's people's
job. If I'm the owner, you know what my first thought is?
Yep.
Well, I don't know what the hell this guy's doing, but why are we allowing this to happen? Even though it's not Jonathan Gannon's fault.
Yep.
But if it's happening, you say, these are those things like constant penalties. Are these guys being able to jump off sides in practice? And are they getting away with this shit in practice? And I want to have that part of me that says, I get it. I've made plenty of mistakes and plenty of mistakes as a football player, but never one that would have done that. Never. Those are the controllable ones. It's such a selfish move, and it's such a – and I don't want to hear anybody say, well, yo, that's just these days, kids. Well, then I don't have to coach them. Then I don't have to sign them. And I don't have to be patient with it. But what happens, JB, when this goes on? You think about this. If they lose two or three in a row and they go back and a coach gets fired and his whole staff gets fired and a couple guys get cut, you know what I'm saying? Is it gets to a point where you say, you know what? That's a loss that contributed to that other guy getting cut and along the year and us missing the playoffs and the coach getting replaced. I just don't get how this continues to happen when people say, well, he was close. Yeah. Well, you know what? Go 5 yards deep and do your nonsense. And I don't know the kid from Adam, and I'm sure he's a good kid and he's a talented player. But when do we get to a point where you just why? Is this the celebration? Is we're just supposed to accept that this is how young kids do it? And you're an old head, JB, because you don't get it. Young guys watch SportsCenter, and this is how they're supposed to celebrate. I think it is this low IQ, and all I can do is call you dumb, because if this is what you're doing, you're just a dumb football player because you just don't get it. And you're also as selfish as could be. I don't know. And then if you dock his pay, guess what? JB, try to fine him 100 grand. You know what will happen? The NFLPA will say, you can't do that. See, so you can't win. And it just we just keep allowing this stuff. I'm with you. I'm caught in between right now. You said you'd cut him. I'm caught in between compassion and mistakes, but a self-inflicted, stupid mistake. And then the old, I don't care, dude. I'm tired of having compassion for stupidity and wanting to cut his ass on the spot. I'm sitting on the fence, and I don't normally sit on the fence. I just don't get it. It literally. And now Arizona, haven't they lost 3 straight games on a final play in the fourth quarter, whether it's a field goal kick or something? I mean, it losing to that team like that, and good on Tennessee for continuing to make smart plays, even though they you got to be a little lucky. You throw a pick in the end zone, so the ball gets tipped around 74 times, and you recover it for a touchdown. I mean, stupid stuff.
Crabs in a bucket.
The throw from Ward to Ridley was huge at the end. What?
Crabs in a bucket, right? The kid fucking fumbles like that. And then the next thing, you're kicking the ball around. It's a 21-6 game with 5 minutes left, Sean. There's no excuse.
Game's over.
Should have been 28-6, but 21-6. And then you score. Let's just still say you score, and it's 21-13 or whatever. And then, come on, man. Are you shitting me? Like, you still go and boot the ball around again? Again, you do shit trickles down in football. It just is what it is. Momentum's a real thing. And that guy fumbling, you can't tell me that that's not the shit starter.
Yeah, like I said, talented. And I know we want to be in a world of forgiveness. But when people say it, I say, well, the kid made a mistake. Well, no kidding. But it wouldn't have been a mistake if he takes it 2 yards deeper and secures the football. I don't get it. I don't get it. With Brock Purdy and Mac Jones, we haven't been able to talk since the Rams 49ers game, right, JB, since we talk on Mondays. Are we anywhere near the danger zone of, and Mac Jones said all the right things, of if you're Kyle Shanahan, that you're going to sit one down and play the other if another week or two he's starting? What do you do with that? So how fragile is that situation in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, it's a controversy. They can say what they want. We've seen this in Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe, and Belichick had to make a hell of a decision, right? Bledsoe gets hurt. Brady comes in and ends up being Tom Brady that we know today. But then he gets hurt. Bledsoe comes in, wins a playoff game for him. And then guess what? Belichick has to decide who's my Super Bowl starter, and he goes back to Brady. That is a coaching decision that has to be made here by a guy in a lot of people's eyes, like mine's included, is an underachiever in Shanahan. I think they've underachieved rosters here in Frisco. They've gone to Super Bowls and just can't get it done. Why Sean McVay across town has done it and got it done. And the Rams choked this game off, a bad loss for the Rams. I think McVay's fourth down call was huge and bad. But McVay, I trust him, the young head coach. I think the Rams should be 5-0. But listen, at the end of the day, the Niners got it done with an injured roster. So we can't sit here and blame like the Ravens, for instance, for losing like they did. Guess what? The Niners and the Vikings won with backup QBs, and they figured it out. So the Ravens need to do the same. The Niners, Sean, have a controversy. And because you got to look at the history, Shanahan wanted to draft Mac Jones.
Yeah, I know. And so I tell people, I said, Mac Jones, Shanahan loved his ass, and he was talking. There's a convinced not to, yes.
Yeah, there's definitely there. And I've been saying you can win in this league now with building a roster and having a lesser paid quarterback. And look at the guys that are winning games. Look at the guys. Just think about
it. He's putting up gaudy numbers too. It's not just
they lead the league in passing.
They're not winning in spite of him right now.
Yeah, they lead the league in passing
because of him.
And then they put Purdy in last week before and he comes back and they lose. Like at the end of the day, this guy's undefeated. He beat the Rams. That has to be a huge thing in that locker room. You can tell me what you want to tell me about $55 million or whatever Purdy makes. At the end of the day, that roster and that locker room said, wait up, Cole. This guy just beat the Rams, who we think could be the best team in football, and we got to ride with him until the wheels fall off at this point, don't we? Because what are we going to do? Keep putting Purdy in, lose a game, and then he's hurt again, and we put him out, and Mac Jones wins a game? What are we doing? I think we overpay these guys too fast, Sean, and I think he's a bus rider, Purdy. I don't think he's a bus driver, and I just think the Niners have failed the quarterback position. I say it on my show, Sean. I think you have put hubcaps on a Lamborghini. Over the last 6 years, the Niners have been to the Super Bowl several times, have lost, come up short. You've been to a Super Bowl as an organization since you won it last, and we can argue this is back when the Cowboys last won. It's been 30 years now we're pushing here. You got there with Harbaugh and Kaepernick, didn't get it done. You got there with Jimmy, porn star Jimmy, didn't get it done. You got there with Purdy now, you didn't get it done. When are you going to get the quarterback? Because Joe Montana never lost. Steve Young got it done. What are you going to get it done? And I keep saying, you got a hell of a roster, you got this Lamborghini, but you got hubcaps on it. And I just don't think that's a very, very good thing for a Lynch or a Shanahan at the end of the day.
Is Mike Vrabel such a good coach that he's going to have this team in the playoffs? And Drake May, is Drake May elevating to a different level?
Drake May is that guy. The sophomore slump's a real thing. I think a lot of guys are hitting it. Jaden Daniels, I said, will probably hit it. Bo Nix. It seems like Bo Nix and Drake May are the two best sophomore slump guys we've seen so far. They get that big win against the Philly. And then Drake May looks like a young Josh Allen. He really does. Like, he's big, physical, can throw make all the throws. At least he's in, and he doesn't have a lot of weapons, Sean. Look around. They got Stephon Diggs, who had a big
coming out yesterday. Yeah.
But other than that, who's Butte? I mean, who's their guys? They got a Hunter Henry, a tight end's decent. Man, Vrabel's a hell of a coach. I love them to death. I don't know why they got rid of him in Tennessee. Look at how that's working out for him. Tennessee's a bad football team. Listen, Vrabel's going to have them guys going through a wall, and he'll coach you hard and love you harder. I love what he's doing, and it looks like the best thing since the early Belichick days in New England, because they look like a Belichick team if you look
they
at
sure
it.
They sure do.
Great defense, sure do. Play defense hard. They shut down the Bills last night, who we thought would score all these points, struggled to score, and then you play with – you tackle well. You know, look at it. You don't turn the ball over. Look at the little things they do. And then you don't really have this gaudy outside wideout core and that you spend all this money on. And you have a quarterback that you're getting away with by not having to pay. And now look at their roster. Look at the money that they're getting to spend elsewhere and improve the roster. The New England Patriots in the next year or two could be a formidable opponent under Vrabel, because I don't care what you say, Sean, if you look at it, you can rebuild a program taking over, right? We always do. We say, listen, but you got to win some games during that rebuild. I don't care.
You got to win some games. The Jets are dangerous with one and done.
The Jets are horrible. They're the worst coach football team I've seen. And I said it when he was a DC in Detroit. I said the defense in Detroit's bad. It's unsound. It's gap unsound. There's no gap integrity. But they were so talented on that roster that they won games, and it saved Aaron Glenn. He's not ready to be no head coach. This team is bad, man, in every way possible. They are the worst coach team I've seen in a long time. I've watched the Jets a lot because my player Jermaine Johnson is their big time pass rusher, and I watch this team, Sean. The Jets are a horrible coach.
It's such a pathetic watch, which leads me to. I'm telling you, JB, I know you've been saying it for a while, but I even got to take it to another level as well. I mean, with you, and echo it and stand shoulder to shoulder. There's more shitty-ass football being played than there is good football. There's you got a handful that play pretty good football weekly. You got a handful in the middle that are kind of – you don't know what you're getting weekly. And then you got about, dare I say, 15 teams or more that on a regular basis are an awful watch. I've never been more bored or – I'm telling you, I'm sitting there watching them on a Sunday – it's gotten to the point where I'm saying, dude, I just got to go. I got to go work in the yard. I got to do something. At no time in my life have I been more, I guess, I don't know, appalled the right way. It was, well, Sean, you, what about when you play? This had nothing to do. I'm just telling you, over the overall football as a group, as a whole, the overall product I'm watching, I can never remember when it's been worse with so many teams that it's actually, I mean, hell, the Baltimore Ravens, even with backups, decided not to show up yesterday. They were humiliating. And we never – I mean, I'm talking about no pride or dignity in their own damn building, even with backups. You get paid, so you got to show up and play. I've never seen more bad football. Put it this way. It's easier to walk away and turn your TV off than it is to keep it on, because the football is pathetic in a lot of places.
It's so bad. I've been saying it for years. Whitlock's finally jumped on bandwagon and even said it on his show. Like, JV's been right. He called it. Listen, I'm not patting myself on the back, but football's getting worse and worse. And I've been saying it not just in football, American sports in general. American sports are dying. I would argue they're dead. Basketball, the rules, the softness, the wokeness. Football, look what we got. Fucking Bad Bunny. This is just becoming a bad spectacle. The American sports are dying.
Do you set your clock by it? Would you watch this stuff if you didn't have to talk about it?
No, not at all. I don't. It's already. Let me ask you a question, though, real quick. You and I growing up, and you were playing, and then I'm after you, obviously, a little bit, but growing up, let's just say in the 70s, 80s, 90s, there was one game on in your household, you and your pops or whoever, and it was the Ram game, for instance, and their local team. Are we getting spoiled and finding out how bad it is because now we got places like we can build like this and have 20 TVs and I could have all the games on at once and the technology?
Which I do every Sunday, yes.
Is that – or before, you and I, we just watched the Vikings that week because that's all that was on, and we we had the 10 o'clock game and the 1 o'clock, and that's the only games we got to see. Everything else was based on SportsCenter or whatever, and we didn't get to watch all those games. You think we're spoiled and we're just seeing how shitty it is? Has it always been like this?
I don't believe so, because we've taken physical, the rules and stuff is set up in gimmicks and all the things that go with, you know, all the pay and the rest. So the commitment, there's commitment to some. This isn't a blanket statement or an umbrella statement over the whole league, but, you know, the ones that are bad are really bad. JB, I think that what happened is that we now – get to watch all the bad play. And so we're talking about it more. At that point in time, you say, I don't know. I only saw some highlights. I didn't get to see it all. And I can assure you, Jack Lambert's Steelers and the Raiders and the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs back in the day, there were some bad teams, but there was still, I'm telling you, the teams that we considered good are bad. Does that make sense? We're watching just horrible, horrible football. Now, there's some good players on every team, but the overall product is to the point. It'll make you throw up in your mouth. It will absolutely make you throw up in your mouth watching the bad football that goes on. Dylan Gabriel, show you anything? I saw a little accuracy and toughness. I mean, he's got to get better at mid-range throwing the ball down the middle, you know, in the mid-range throws and the intermediate throws. I don't think Stefanski did him any good on the final drive or two. They could put him in a bind, and they played not to lose as opposed to win. I didn't like it, but he's accurate, and I don't know how he's going to be, but they made the right decision. He should be the starting quarterback.
Mediocrity is a new excellence, though.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about it was an average performance, but it was good for a rookie on the road against Brian Flores, but it wasn't great. They got beat, and they couldn't close it out, but we're still complimenting because we're like, damn, what we've seen in the past there has just not been good.
I mean, we got guys throwing for 100 yards like fucking Jackson Dart last week, and we're saying that's the best rookie performance we've seen and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, God dang.
You saw how quickly the NFL could turn on you when you lay the ball down on the ground if you're the Giants, you get beat by a horrible Saints team.
You got little
hands. Actually looked like a better team against the Giants.
Little hands. Little boy hands.
Yeah. So you did Dylan Gabriel starting next week?
Oh yeah.
What do you do? It's not a Velociraptor, is what it is. What do you do if you're Cleveland? Just you got to start him, right? He's the guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do there? Like Stefanski's basically dug his own grave. Unfortunately, you got a management and organization that went and spent all their money on a guy that hasn't played really at all. And Deshaun Watson, like, this is a bad ran organization, man. I'll be honest. Them and the Bengals got to be one of the worst two, right? Like, two balls. I mean,
things are going to start to explode. I'm telling you, players are going to start to – it's getting close, man. They're gonna lose. Look at that. Since 1999, they have 41 starting quarterbacks.
Damn.
I thought he did some good things considering the circumstances, but they got to get better at pushing the ball down the field a little bit because they were not good. They had the game dead to rights, but they gave Carson Wentz a great throw and catch down the stretch, and Minnesota's a better team. All right, the Indianapolis Colts, are they a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, truthfully?
They could be, man. I'm not telling you.
Are they that good?
They could be. Their defense is legit. Danny Dimes, who I've been a proponent of forever, and people always, I'm like, all right, well, look at him now when he's around competence. I don't know. Is it more on him or is it an indictment on Brian Daboll, who we love? Like, but I'm gonna be honest, man. I know he's respond. You know, he's a young part of he's part of a young Josh Allen's development in Buffalo. He gets the job. He takes Danny Dimes to the playoffs in New York. Wins a playoff game on the road against Minnesota just a short few years ago. But ever since then, the Giants have been a horrible organization, right there with the Jets. And then Danny Dimes leaves and has been better. Is it an indictment on Brian Daboll or is it New York Giants or is it Danny Dimes needed to get around some decent wideouts, a running game again? So it's funny how you take away a guy's running back like Saquon and out of New York and the quarterback goes to shit, isn't it? And then you add him to Jalen Hurts and he looks good, isn't it? It's funny how that works.
You get him with Jonathan Taylor and look how good he looks.
So I'm just saying, they're serious. They're a real team, and like I said, I think Daniel Jones is comeback player of the year. I said it before the season. He looks like he is. He could have damn
near
been
the MVP if this team
the MVP. Yeah. And Sam Darnold, another guy I said, you screwed up in Minnesota getting rid of him. He looks great. Shootout last night against Tampa.
If the ball doesn't hit the guy's helmet, he's trying to throw it in the ground. It kicks off the helmet, and then Baker does what Baker does, man. He does a phenomenal job of getting his team in position to win. I love his energy. JB, we don't have a great team in football.
No.
We do not have a great team.
College
we got some
or
good
pro.
Teams at the top. We don't
College
have a great team, though.
College or pro.
Right. Oh, I don't even – Ohio State, Oregon, and Miami stick out. But I think they're all – if you get them on the wrong day, they're beatable.
Yeah.
I don't see any great team.
On Sunday,
Buffalo's really good. Philadelphia's good. The Rams are good, but – I also watched some of it. Buffalo got beat by a team they're supposed to beat, and the 49ers go and beat the Rams, and Philadelphia, you know, they know how to win, but they didn't yesterday. They've been in a couple close ones. I don't see one great team that you could say they're clear-cut the best team in this league. I can't find that team.
No, I don't see it either. The Eagles, I think their offense eventually will bite them in the ass. If you got two great wideouts and you can't get them the ball and you got a great tight end, Saquon Barkley, I mean, there's no excuse for Philadelphia's offensive output this year. Or, we love Jalen Hurts. He's a winner. You can't coach it. But they win a lot in spite of him, and that's a telltale sign. That's like Brock Purdy, in my opinion. That's like the Jags are doing right now at 3-1, who played at night against the Chiefs with sunshine over there. They're winning in spite of the quarterback position, which we've never usually seen. Usually the quarterback gets the guy and goes down, and even bad quarterback play, that we saw a lot of 330-yard games, 300-yard game. Besides Matthew Stafford, have we seen – I think he's the only guy this year that's thrown for back-to-back 375-yard games. We haven't seen a 300-yard game other than Matthew Stafford? Like, really?
A 300-yard game? Oh, yeah, we had a couple with Baker and Sam Darnold yesterday.
Yesterday. So I'm just saying, before that, though, it was only Matthew Stafford all year long. Like, we used to see that on a bad weekend.
To answer your question about Brian Daboll, who you and I hold in pretty high regard, but it's pretty simple that Brian Daboll got a head coaching job because the guy he had under center, that was a big help. If you had an average quarterback, Brian Daboll doesn't get that job. And you could probably say that about a lot of
Dak Prescott looks Super Bowl worthy on offense. Their defense is garbage. So that's, again, status quo team, right? They're going to be good on offense, horrible on defense, and now they're probably not going to make it very far. You got Russell Wilson, who threw for 450 yards against those same Cowboys. That tells you how bad the Cowboys' secondary is and how bad that defense is, because the Giants haven't done anything since. They replaced the guy with Jackson Dart since the Cowboys
can score. They can't play any defense, dude.
They gave up 20 fucking how many points to the Jets yesterday? Like, come on, man.
Yeah. And the 4-1 teams, you have Bucks, Lions, Bills, Eagles, and Niners, and Indy are all 4-1. But like I said, good teams, but they're not great teams.
There's
no great team. Nobody scares you in this. Although I know this, if Tampa has the ball late, they're going to find a way to win.
Yeah.
Get it done. And, you know, the Ravens are going to score it done.
You look at the schedule. The Bucs beat the Carolina Panthers, a team that Carolina beat by 30, the Atlanta Falcons, and they all had to come back at the end in all those games. So the Bucs haven't really shown me that they're just this dominant team at 4-1. That was a good win for them in Seattle in the 12th man, because Seattle's playing pretty good defense. And Seattle, again, they're hard out, but I don't know how good they are. It seems like the Rams, Niners, and Seattle, as everyone predicted, the Cardinals are fading away. After playing the Niners tough that game, it seems like their morale has been just shattered since that field goal beat them against the Niners 2 weeks ago. They just can't – they just are doing
– Hell, sick. The Lions may, after that first start, the Lions may very well be the best team in the NFL right now.
They could be again.
Buffalo lost last night.
Buffalo lost. Philly lost. So you got these teams now. We'll see if the Rams can bounce back. I think the Rams with Stafford and Nacua are the best 1-2 matchup in football, or mashup in football. I think Nacua is the best football player in football. And we'll see if the Rams can bounce back. But we got a lot of bad football teams. I don't know if we've seen this many bad. Carolina, Atlanta, the Jets, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Titans. The list goes on. I mean, this is bad football. The Ravens.
Yeah, well, without Lamar, there's no energy. I know they got a bunch of injuries, but you can't – nobody wants excuses. Nobody's paying attention to them, because the backups in Baltimore are obviously not very good. And real quick, JB, before I let you go, yeah, to answer the question, Sean Payton's call to go for 2 points was brilliant, and I love his guts and what he's all about. And we're going to find out a little more about Jacksonville tonight, JB, see if they're real too. So
yeah, we are.
I got to see more and more games of Trevor Lawrence doing what he's doing, so I can prove to me that you're the best quarterback and the best player on the field. He's going to get a chance to do that tonight.
Yeah, like I said, I'm taking the Jags tonight.
Dude, I'm still not impressed. I'm the Chiefs. I know last week I don't trust the Chiefs' offense still, but we'll find out.
No doubt.
We'll see.
no doubt.
Good stuff, brother. Dodgers gonna be okay?
Warriors. Oh, yeah, World Series champs. I already told you before the season on your show. We started this show back when the season started in baseball. I said they're gonna do it. Listen, their bullpen's horrible. I get it. It's gonna scare us. Hey, put Kershaw in there. Let's let him eat. Let the Texas boy eat and try to save us in the bullpen because the bats Stocky are alive.
He may be the one too. Stocky throwing a hundy. How about Toronto? Toronto's making the Yankees look like they don't like the Yankees should be playing in a little league doubleheader the way they're playing.
What happened to the old? What happened to the ALDS, the NLDS? What happened to that? Why? What is this 3-game, 5-game shit? Like I can't keep track no more. I had no idea, Sean, that it was a 3-game series in the first round. And they stay at that place. They just play 3 days in a row at that particular park.
That's your reward for being the best wild card.
What are we doing?
You get to stay for 3 games instead of go one and one. Oh, we don't want to travel. Now we get 5-game series in this, and then you get then you'll get 7-game series in the ALCS and NLCS, and then 7 games in the World Series. And I think Sasaki is going to be the closer for the Dodgers moving forward, at least the rest of this. You know, you ramp it up 100. He's got more than one pitch, and he looked like he brought it.
Kershaw setup guy now.
I got to get an inning because he's cagey and. You got to send him out right, and hopefully for his sake.
I like Kershaw versus 3 batters.
There's no doubt in a matchup situation, no question about it. In the American League, Toronto's raking now. Boy, are they raking!
I told you last week that the Yankees finished the season 9-1. The Dodgers finished the season 8-2, and I said, they're going to play each other again.
Yankees are not Toronto,
touching
that. Toronto, boy. Talk about a can of whoop ass. And then I'm telling you what, the Dodgers also, the Brewers is going to be very different. And they've been the best all year long, at least at the top. They've been consistent. So is Toronto. So we'll see. JB, great stuff, brother. We'll see you. We'll see you next Monday. I'll talk to you this week, man. Hang in there.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it. Before we bring Segs in, guys, let me tell you about, be clear about cryptocurrency, okay? It's no longer just emerging. It is here. I 5 years ago, I wasn't even thinking about crypto. Then 3 years, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And then you start to run into, okay, I kind of like this. Crypto.com is all I'm going to tell you. Well, it's kind of what I'm going to tell you. The latest move cements what we're talking about, that crypto is here to stay. And it's in a big way, and that is the reality. Trump Media just linked and inked a massive $6.4 billion deal with Yorkville Acquisition Corporation and Crypto.com. That's CRYPTO, Crypto.com. And Crypto, the platform trusted by millions of users worldwide. And the acquisition, again, Trump Media, $6.4 billion deal with Yorkville Acquisition Corp and Crypto.com. And Crypto is the platform trusted by millions. You guys know this. This is kind of repetitive, but it's repetitive in a good way to remind you of what you need to be a part of. They're teaming up to scoop up $6.4 billion in CRO, the powerhouse token that fuels fast, low-fee DeFi staking rewards, the real-world perks like cashback on your spends to establish America's first CRO treasury, Trump Media Group CRO strategy. When it's done, this new company will be the biggest publicly traded CRO holder out there. Want in on the action? Head to crypto.com today. That's crypto.com. Let's make crypto great again. Amen. For more information on the proposed business combinations and the acquisition, check out Yorkville Acquisition Corp's public filings. And it'll be all right there. $6.4 billion. President Trump believes in it, obviously, and he believes in crypto. He believes in crypto.com. Go check it out today and make crypto great again. It is here to stay, and it's dominant. Crypto.com, when you say $6.4 billion, they ain't playing. Crypto.com, that's crypto.com. All right, Segs, come on in, brother. Welcome in, and good to see you on a Monday. And I know you're listening to what JB had to say. My man, I know people, you're hyperbolic. I literally was sitting out and watching my TVs yesterday, and at halftime of a couple of the games, I was it's a hard watch. Yeah. The NFL has become a hard watch. If you said you don't get to watch the NFL or college forever, and you and I have talked about it, it's a no-brainer. I'm sticking to Saturdays, not Sunday. But and I know there's some good teams. It's not everybody. It's not fair because we got some really good pieces. But the whole puzzle of the NFL, it's just not good. It is just not a good product right now. And I'm trying to figure out why. Coach, player, Are we letting things slack? Is it too casual? Are we watered down? Is the quarterback play poor? It has been in some places, but it's been really good in others. And then week to week, some guy's capable of throwing 455 and getting benched. Another guy can throw for 100 and win. And then you get the Josh Allen who's so good, and Drake May beats him. And Lamar's having a great season, but when he's not there, Baltimore sucks ass. They're not any good at all. Then Mac Jones replaces Brock Purdy, and it looks like Brock Purdy did when he replaced and got the starting job there. And I mean, you start, and the one guy who's been constant in all this, Matthew Stafford, continues to put up numbers. So I'm just, Jalen Hurts is a winner, but what happens if they had three injuries on offense? So since we got Jordan Love looks like a player, but then they get beat by Cleveland 13-10. You see what I'm saying? It's just a constant, and it's not just quarterback play. Stupid penalties, defenses that are getting mauled, offenses that seem to be behind. I mean, the Bengals can't play a lick, and we thought Browning would be a guy to hold over, but Segs, welcome in, man. I just my frustration, I guess, with watching, maybe it's the fact that we're so tuned into it that we're being a little too nitpicky. But I don't think so. And dropping balls before you get in the end zone, it's we're getting to the point borderline ridiculous.
It's so bad. Like yesterday, so I wake up, my boys had a football game. So we're there, they're playing, and we come home, get home about 1-ish central time, maybe a little 1:15 or so. Games are getting close to halftime, and we sit down, and I put on, I don't even remember what game it was, and we're watching, and they're, you know, my boys are looking up at the corner to see the scores as they're coming through. And I hadn't looked at anything because I was driving and doing all this stuff. And it was just one score after another. My son's just like, geez, look what Houston's doing to Baltimore. Geez, look what Dallas is doing to the Jets. Geez, look what. And it was like blowout, blowout, blowout. And even the close games were all just bad played games. There wasn't one game in the early part of the day that you looked at and you were like, oh, this is a really good game. I mean, they were, the Eagles game, Broncos wasn't great. I mean, nobody was great in that game. I thought it looked like two mediocre teams that had good defenses playing each other. That's what that game felt like to me.
And that's supposed to be some of the class of the league right there.
Yes. So, and it's just, and I keep going back to it, and we've talked about this multiple times, the quarterback play, the play we see dropping the ball before the end zone, it goes back.
And Dr. J, we talked about that with JB ad nauseum about Ricardo dropping it. What would you do? Would you cut him? What do you do? Do you move on with him? What do you do?
But it goes back to college. It goes back to high school. These guys are not being coached like they were 20 years ago. They're not being coached like they were 40 years ago. It is the coaching, and it's part of they have to be. You have to be softer on these guys because in college you have to not only
recruit them and get them there.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to keep recruiting them when they're in your building year after year after year. So then that takes away from other recruits, and then you're trying to develop your top guys to get them to the draft because that's how you get recruits in. But then you're leaving guys at the bottom of the roster not being developed. And then when they come up to play, they're not ready. So it's just right now, sport, and that's all sports. It's not even just football. It's all sports.
NBA doesn't play defense. They don't play till the last 2 minutes, and we have load management. In baseball, we got all the gimmicks, and pitchers go five innings, and they're awarded. Everybody thinks they're a hero. It's absurd, man. It is, and it's not old man stuff. You could be 22 and watching that shit and say, you know what? This is just bad sports. And it just to echo what you're saying, Segs, about just bad play and stupid decisions. I'm watching the Cleveland game early with Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And Njoku catches the ball running down and leapfrogs the guy. Did you see the tacklers, what he did? His helmet, his eyes were straight down at the ground. Did they tell you to see what you hit? He had no chance to make that tackle.
No.
I mean, his head's down, not wrapping it. He just goes down this, heads down, doesn't see what he hits, can't do anything. I mean, what do you expect to happen? I mean, we miss some throws yanked into the ground on third down. We guys miss, and I'm going to tell you right now, you could tell me whatever you want about quarterback play, which has been brutal as far as good's been good, but there's been some awful quarterback play. The offensive line play, defensive linemen and pass rushers, completely obliterate average offensive lines on a weekly basis. It is to the point where you get lining up with five guys that dominate the line of scrimmage like they do normally in Philly and like they do in Detroit. Trying to find those guys, it's as bad an offensive line play. I was fortunate to play on a team with Gary Zimmerman and Randall McDaniel. I was in college with Roy Foster and Don Mosfar and Bruce Matthews, all first-round picks. And you know what? I'm just telling you, those guys, some of the guys I see now wouldn't make a roster that are starting and playing and making $15 million a year.
Well, Mike says it there. I mean, you can't practice. You can't have pads on anymore in practice. So what are the offensive linemen?
Can't like practice 2 days in a row in camp. Right. And camp short. Yes.
It's those ridiculous. Offensive linemen, that's the ones who are getting really screwed and everything is the fact that because now we have 7-on-7. What's that not have? Offensive linemen. These guys are not getting the same amount of reps that, you know, high school, like when I was in high school, three practices a day. Offensive linemen, they're going at it, you know, with defensive linemen. It's just, it's a watered down game that has been over-pussified so much in every facet, not even just practices, but in games. I mean, did you see the call? I think it was, now I'm going to blank, but the quarterback hit that it was Cam Jordan hit Jackson Dart. Just hits him from behind. And we call passing or roughing the passer. It's just this type of shit can't continue if we want. And I'm also going to put it not just on the players and the coaches, also the media and the fans, because Caleb Williams, just go look at his stats. I mean, guys, I think thrown, and I just pulled him up. He's thrown 8 interceptions in his first 21 games. He's got almost 30 touchdowns. The amount of quarterbacks picked number one that have done that are zero because it's just him. And it's just, but yet you look at the media, Caleb Williams sucks. Caleb Williams is trash. Yeah. Trash until yesterday.
Right.
Now Drake everybody loves him.
Football player. Right.
You look at Baker, you look at Sam Darnold. These are guys that we just don't give quarterbacks any time to develop. If you're not good in a year and a half, you're out. I don't care where you're drafted, you're out. Especially if you're drafted in the first round, you get a year. If you're Dylan Gabriel, you get 4 games. If you're
Anthony Richardson's never going to see that job again in Indianapolis right. If Jones stays healthy. He'll never sniff it.
Right. And he hasn't played well, and he's been really bad. But like Darnold, we saw the talent he had at USC. We saw the talent that Baker Mayfield had. Yet they go to these shitty teams with guys that don't know how to coach them. And then when they're bad, we just push them away, and then it takes them a little bit of time, and then boom, they find it. And it's
both of those guys, the combination 7 or 8 teams between the two have quit on them.
Yeah. Hell, they were on the Panthers together at one time.
Yes. Yes. And think about this. And I know you like JJ McCarthy, and so do I, but he's still basically a rookie, right? And hurt. Think about this. Kevin McCarthy turns Darnold's career around and Darnold plays well. Even for $30 million for a 1 year of franchising, they were willing to let the guy go, who's having another phenomenal year in Seattle, to play a guy. And Daniel Jones, remember, folks, Daniel Jones ended up the second half year being the backup in Minnesota. And Kevin knows football. But they let both of those guys go. Both are having, I mean, I'm not going to say MVP. Daniel Jones having an MVP year, and Darnold's playing out of his mind, threw 4 more touchdowns yesterday. And Baker Mayfield, who was quit on in Cleveland, he didn't get really to look with the Rams and Carolina and Darnold in San Francisco and in Carolina and in New York and in Minnesota. Darnold's on his 15th and he's down 30. But they passed on that to go to a rookie who's in his second year, who is going to be a good player, who didn't throw a lot at Michigan, but didn't play a snap. And you just decide to clear house and bring in a guy who's been like a 16 journeyman in Carson Wentz, who actually made some great throws yesterday to help them win against a good Cleveland defense. Dude, it's beyond nonsense and nuts, the stuff that I'm watching every week on football and decisions that are made. And you are 100% correct. And I'm just going to tell you, it ain't going to get any better, because the longer we go, NFLPA is going to continue to limit training camps. They're going to work less and make more, and it's going to be sloppy football. we don't know what physicality looks like a lot of times because you can't turn that on and off like a light switch. You just can't.
Yeah, right. And it's so tough for like, even when you look at the GMs, okay. Whatever his name is there and Questy, whatever the GM in Minnesota, if he were to keep Sam Darnold, it's probably good. I bet you Stefanski wanted to keep Sam Darnold, but for the GM,
not Stefanski. You mean O'Connell? O'Connell. Stefanski was there before him, right?
Yeah. He probably wanted to keep Sam Darnold, but the GM has to say, "I just took a guy, whatever JJ McCarthy went 10th, 11th, whatever it was in the draft. I cannot let him sit on the bench for 2 years, even though he got hurt.
Why? One. I know because, my answer is why he's under a rookie contract."
Then the media and the fans start trashing you, and then it gets to the owner, and then the owner starts thinking it. It's just, it's everybody. It's like you guys were talking, you and JB, talking about the fact that we can watch every game. We can see all these games. We got all these TVs now. We can watch every second of every game if we want. And we overanalyze every single throw, every single snap, every single block that an offensive lineman makes. And sometimes that's not good because GMs, owners, coaches, everybody hears the outside noise. You can say we don't listen to it at all. Everybody hears it and it gets in your head and it gets in your GM's head. And then eventually it'll get in your owner's head. And then your owner who doesn't know shit about football.
Yeah.
They start poking their nose in and then it's fucking done.
Can you imagine if Mahomes,
you're the Cleveland Browns?
Can you imagine if Mahomes hadn't had the success he's had with the Super Bowls, just right. Judging from their offense the last year and a little to the last week, honestly, during the regular season, I'm not talking about how they get to the Super Bowl during the regular season. Do you realize that people would have said, you got to get rid of him? He's not our offense. I'm just talking about the offense because 170 yards here, just the fly. But they people would be saying, well, we haven't won a Super Bowl. What's wrong? How come the guy's not throwing for 350?
Right.
Yet, obviously, he's one of the greatest of all time. But just from looking at their offense with the impatience we have, people would be questioning. I mean, we're ready. Arch is people want to bench, and he hasn't been playing well anyway. You know, right. I mean, anyway. But what I'm saying at every level, the impatience we have. And I'm just thinking about, look at when Josh Allen came in. Oh, he's inaccurate. He's going to suck. Remember? Inaccurate at Wyoming. Gets the right coach. Does the right thing. Now he's awesome. Darnold and Baker Mayfield can't play. Well, they're both. Think about how many guys that couldn't play. Oh, you can't draft Jalen Hurts. Well, he's a Super Bowl winner and he's good. Yep. Oh, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold can't play. Daniel Jones can't play. Oh, what's Jordan Love doing, man? Jordan Love's backing up. Why'd you draft him in the first place? You had Aaron Rodgers. And look, I mean, it is crazy how the expectations we have, and if somebody puts up one big stat game, you better throw for 250 to 300 every week with the way the rules are set up. You better. So the choices we make every week, and the incredible lack of patience we have with anything. Now some play their way right out of it because they suck. Okay, right. That's not fair. I know it's hard, but some play their way right out of it because they consistently are inconsistent, which makes them. Which we use the word suck, which is a little bit harsh, but. I mean, Zach Wilson, are they ever going to see the field again?
No.
And consistent. Look what he had a chance. And now our thought process about him is you can never fix him. That's the thought process by fans and social media. And they all read social media, coaches, players, GMs, front office. They want the pulse of what's going on. So the judgment we have of players is like, what's going on? And the guy with a bad back's playing as good a football as anybody in Matt Stafford, right? It's a weird watch every week, Shakes.
It really is. And it's just, I mean, let's jump to college. Florida, you called it. You had Florida winning the game against Texas, and they dominated Texas for the most part. I know it ended up an 8-point game, but that
game wasn't as close as a score.
Right. And Arch Manning did not look good. I mean, there's plenty of Texas fans on Twitter that'll tell you he's not the problem. And yeah, some of it's not him. That offensive line struggles, that the wide receivers dropping passes. But he's also a big part of the problem he holds on to the ball so long. What happened to him being this great runner? I mean, that's all he was used when Quinn Ewers was there. And now he doesn't do any of that. It's just... And Florida, you said the defense was getting better, And the defense and
they were physically better.
Awesome.
Well, they physically they dominated their offense run game over the Texas, that vaunted Texas defense who was supposed to shut them down. Here, listen, and sometimes it pains you to say stuff that you got to say because you love the family.
Right.
And you believe in it. And I love the Mannings. I do. I do. But just as quickly as the truth is, we've never had a quarterback, and I can remember, with this much expectation when he came out of a Christian school in high school in Louisiana. Right. Elway was high publicized coming out of high school, Granada Hills, to Stanford. But once he got to Stanford, we weren't talking about him how talented he was, but the expectations still were not like they were on Arch Manning. And we had a little more patience then as well.
It felt Tebow. Like, I remember Tebow hearing about him in high school, and then he went to Florida with Urban, and it was like, when is Tebow? Remember, Chris Leak was the starter, and it was like,
oh yeah,
put Tebow in. That's the other guy that I compare to Arch Manning.
Right.
Because of the Manning name.
Right. Right. And an uncle, I mean, a grandfather that was phenomenal, two uncles that are off the charts, and a dad who's a great man and was a hell of a player himself until he got hurt as a wide receiver. So
right.
With that, the expectations, and you can see it in Arch's face, dude. He's laboring. Now, their offensive line can't block you and me. So this pains me to say, just from watching and the lack of energy, the way they're playing offensively, the truth is if his last name wasn't Manning, he probably would be benched. Probably. Now, I don't know if the next guy would be better because the offensive line doesn't block anybody, but a lot of rigid and the mechanics are not consistent. But then you see him make a couple throws, you're saying, now that's who Arch Manning's supposed to be.
Right.
So there's an unfair, but he's not void of criticism and he's not void of compliments either. But when people ask me, well, would you bench him? I had asked a friend of mine asked me this today, texted me it. And I said, he didn't transfer when he was on the bench and everybody wanted him to play. And I almost feel like Sark can't bench him because I almost feel like you owe it to the man. He stayed. We're going to let him play through this. And I get it, 100%. Now, do I think that Arch Manning's a complete bust and isn't going to be played? No. I can tell you this. If he declared for the NFL, it'd be a major mistake. And I would imagine that he's not ready. He wouldn't be you can't take him in the first five rounds right now, the way he's playing. Potential in name, yes. So I hate to say it because I do believe that with that offensive coordinator and Sark's good, but something's missing, and it's not just him. It's their offensive line. There's a lot missing from that, but Lagway was clearly the best player on the field of the two, and he's had his injury struggles. But I'm not quitting on Arch Manning, but I'm just saying at this stage there would be a lot. If this was Quinn Ewers doing this, they would have benched him.
Yeah,
they flat ass would have benched him. And I know it's hard on Sark, and the Mannings are there, and they committed to the program, and they know he's not playing well, and so does he. Our Arch does, but so the cumulative part of that team is not good. And then when the quarterback's missing open receivers, when it's a clean pocket, and then it just doesn't look smooth, even when things are going well for their offense against good teams. So, and it's not harsh. It's just the facts, Segs. You can't watch tape and say he's playing great football. He's not. He's playing average football and inconsistent football, which becomes a problem. Yet that being said, I trust the Mannings and love the Mannings. I couldn't root harder for Arch Manning. But you can tell the laboring that goes on and the rigid part of the play. And mechanically, it's been up and down for a family that lives there. He needs David Cutcliffe and the Mannings to get together when this season's over again. And I'm sure they will. But right now, all this, I think he's trying to be something he's not, just from my vantage point. And it's not helping because he's running for his life. And then you hold the ball too long. And then you try to play hero ball. Yeah. And in the process, you're getting your ass handed to him. It's tough, but they're not getting any better offensively. They're getting worse.
Yeah. And it's just – the run game's not good. Nothing's good right now for that Texas.
They're offense. Not a national title. Them, Clemson, Penn State, not a one of them's going to look at a chip in the face this year. No chance. None of them.
Number one coming into the season, now unranked. Number two coming into the season, you just mentioned them, Penn State, Nittany Lions. And now they are unranked after losing to UCLA, and which is the worst loss of the season by far for any team. And the fact that you guys mentioned it, UCLA had not led for 1 second. 1 second. They hadn't led for 1 second all year long. And then you come out here and do this. And then you've got James Franklin, who's just a fraud. I don't like James Franklin. I think he's not a big time coach. He's a fine coach. He's a good coach.
He's not a great one. They don't beat good teams. He's not a great one. Got beat, right? Yeah, that's the worst loss in 2 years from anybody. I don't care that it was on the road. UCLA was abysmal.
I said after the game on Saturday night. So what's James Franklin's excuse for this Penn State loss? That's what I said on Twitter. And I did not pay attention to anything after that. I was tired. It was a long day because I was at a volleyball tournament most of the day. So I was tired and I fell asleep early. Then I'm looking around after I get home from football yesterday and I come across a tweet that was James Franklin's quote after the game. And he said, "We did not handle last week's loss well. We also lost some players in that game during the week. Then everything else, and then travel. Everything else did not come out with the right energy to start the game." So he's got all these excuses.
And that's all on coaching.
Yeah,
that's all
on lost him. Last week, some injuries. So you still had your quarterback, who was the number one Heisman favorite walking into the season. You still had your two top 10 running backs in the country playing. You had one of the easiest schedules. I think actually it was the easiest schedule in Power 4 football this season. And now you go from number two ranked to open the season to unranked. And you're not a good football team.
I told you that's quarterback's not a first-round pick. Aller's right. Not. He doesn't win big games like that either in big moments. And that wasn't a big game. I'm talking about you saw when we go back to the game against Oregon. Listen, average. I don't want to hear James Franklin's excuses about travel, considering those teams out there got to travel to play every single friggin' week, damn near, when you're UCLA or USC. And you got to travel out there. And by the way, I do believe Oregon went across the country and kicked your ass in a whiteout in your own building.
Let's remember, when you go to Penn State, you got to stay almost an hour away because there's nothing for visiting teams.
Happy Valley.
It's like an hour trip in after you get there. You got to drive from whichever, if Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, whichever one's
closer. Underachieved.
Yeah, it's just
James Franklin does the same thing. Excuse-making.
Yes,
every
single year he makes excuses.
Oh, I don't want to make excuses, but we got two guys that are injured. Well, get along. Everybody's injured. And you're playing against a team, quite frankly, it was a JV team for the most part, the way UCLA's played this year. And he went in there and got beat. The excuses, travel, I don't want to hear. So Oregon's, what was the excuse they made coming into your building?
Nothing.
The truth is, the way UCLA's team is right now, and they're not very good, dude, they have been awful. And this is a great win. I couldn't be more happy for them, even though they're a rival of my Trojans, because I like the way they did it. Noel Mazzoni, and I like the new Heisel family, is that you probably should be good enough to have like six guys on each side that were hurt and still beat them with your backups. That's the depth. I'm talking about depth-wise of their team. That's not saying the UCLA didn't have good players, but the whole – they've had to change coaches. They got an interim, all that stuff. You should have been able to have some injuries at key positions and still gone out there and won. Oh, yeah, they fought back, resilient, great. Oh, you gave effort? Everybody gives effort. The excuses of travel, and whose job is it to make sure his team doesn't take the ass whooping they took from Oregon into the next game? It's James Franklin's job.
Yes.
And guess what? He didn't do it, which tells me, well, do you have some players that aren't buying in? Did they check out on you? Or did they think UCLA, like everybody else, that thought this was going to be a cakewalk, you're going to win by 40? It wasn't. You gave up 40-plus with that great defense and with a high-powered offense, and you had to fight your way back to even make it close because you were getting your ass handed to you in the first half like no other.
Yeah, and JB mentioned it. You paid, I think it was either $2.3 or $2.8 million to Jim Knowles to come in, and we've seen him struggle in big games at Ohio State over the past few years. You bring him in, and what does UCLA do to you? They run the ball 52 times for 280 yards and three touchdowns against your top-of-the-country defense.
Penn State's losing again, Sags, at least once. Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. It's one thing to get beat by a finesse team that just – like we see in the past, like Texas – I'm talking about in the past. Texas Tech's actually pretty damn good right now. I mean, they would have boat raced an undefeated University of Houston team. But that being said, is when you get beat by a finesse team, sometimes a guy gets a lucky knockout because in a UFC fight or a heavyweight fight, right, when he's the underdog.
Yeah.
There's nothing that takes your soul away more than they line up and they tell you where they're going to run it 50 plus times run. That's body blows to the point where they just took your soul and buried it 6 feet under. The question is, how are you getting it back? And right. It is a tribute to the UCLA players to play through all that and respect and stave off that comeback and to go win a game when, you know, half the building isn't really filled up. People think you're kind of a joke. And then to have Neuheisel will call a really good game offensively. And I was just really impressed with the way UCLA did that. And Penn State just falls into the category of overpaid underachiever. They really did in big games. And I love the program, but James Franklin doesn't elevate him to another level. And another level is Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Another level is what – you can criticize Ryan Day all you want. Well, Shawnee gets good players. So does Penn State. So does Oregon.
Yep.
The Ryan Day, when questioned, took him. Jim Harbaugh took him to another level. Listen, I just – there's something going on. They're not winning. One more loss, and you can't – after that loss, Sags, they got no shot right now. Penn State may not get there anyway, let alone get back. Maybe they'll creep their way back in the top 25 and hang around. But they're far from it. And the University of – hell, let Texas play Penn State. Let's find out who's worse right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, UCLA may not win two more games this year.
And it's going to be a struggle, buddy.
Beat up.
Unless this catapults them confidence-wise. But there was a – how many teams – it's like the Jets not having a turnover yet in their first five games. That you didn't lead a game the first 5 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Equivalent college to the NFL. Good on UCLA, and that's coming from a USC Trojan. What else is on your mind for me, Sags?
Just when we look at the baseball playoffs, we'll end on this. We've seen some great games. You guys talked about it. The Blue Jays beating up offensively on that Yankees pitching. It's been rough for the Yankees going so far. Brewers look good in their opener against the Cubs. They'll play again today. Just thoughts so far on the first few games we've seen of the division series in the MLB playoffs.
And that Detroit-Seattle series is going to be a tough one. That's going to be locked up.
That'll be a back-and-forth series all season.
Good pitching. I'm actually shocked at how bad the Yankees are getting. They fought back. Well, you know what? Can't do moral victories. You're down 2-0 against a team that hit in everything you throw at them. I'm talking about everything, and it's up and down the lineup. And they're playing long ball. Listen, this is the most confidence they've had since they became the in vogue team 5, 6, 7, 8. Remember, Sags, everybody keep picking them for the World Series. Yep. They come up short. They are. Springer had a revitalized season this year, and they're doing this without Bichette, who's not on the roster right now. So this team is has been pretty impressive, and they're playing. One thing is to have confidence, and then another thing to go show it. And this is the equivalent of what they're doing to the Yankees, of what – somebody's hanging 40 a week in college football on somebody and beating them by 30. That's the equivalent of what they're doing. They've scored 23 runs in two games, Sags. Yep. Is that what it is? And giving up 8? And then the Yankees had to fight back to get, 7 of them yesterday. And they got beat, 10-1 in the first game. So they're bludgeoning them. And for my money, the way Toronto and the Brewers are playing – consistently over the course of 162 games, they were the two best teams consistently this year. But we saw the Mariners run a late run, and that I love the way those two teams go. That's going to be a five-game fistfight, in my opinion. I don't know how the Yankees come back and win 3 in a row, Sags. I don't see it happening. And I'll tell you what, the Dodgers and the Phillies, that's still going to be a great series. It just is, I think. Sags, I don't know about you. I think that there's still more meat on that bone.
Yes, I do. Definitely.
But I don't see much meat on the bone with the Yankees and the Toronto series. I just don't see how the Yankees can overcome 3 straight with the way – if Toronto's winning 2-1 and you're getting some late bloop single to win, but the way they're hitting, I don't know how you're getting anybody out. Now, Schlittler, I think, is going in game 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's going to have to give a same clinching performance like he did against the Red Sox for that to – for him to get out of that. And that's going to be tough to do against Toronto because they're
getting better. No, it's Carlos Rodon.
Oh, okay, Rodon. Then Schlittler is game 4 if they get to it. There you go. Okay. Well, Rodon's
Rodon versus Bieber.
There you go. There you go.
It'll be interesting. I will say for that Dodgers-Phillies series, Phillies can't screw around tonight. They got to go out and win. You can't go down.
Oh, there's no question.
2-0 losing both at home. Like,
no, if you get beat tonight – that's going to be the tough road to hoe going across the country. Now, they've got a lot of – that team's one of those that could be down 2-0, and their confidence still thinks they're up 2-0. But I don't think you're getting that. Listen, the other team you're playing is way too good in both of the Yankees series and the Dodgers series, for you to get down 2-0 and think that you're going to go muster up three in a row, especially when you got beat. At least the Yankees took their losses in Toronto, right? They took their loss in Toronto. Now, but the Philadelphia getting beat at home, and having, if you're down 2-0, you can forget it. They're not winning three straight in Dodger. Well, at least two in Dodger Stadium before you have to go home for a game five.
For sure, for sure. All right, that'll do it today. But let's poll question real quick. Which college football team has been the biggest disappointment this season? We got four options for you. Penn State and James Franklin. We just talked about you lose to UCLA. The Texas Longhorns lose to Florida. We've got Clemson, who won this weekend, but they beat up.
Fool's gold, brother. Fool's gold.
They beat up on the fourth option of our poll, and that's Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels.
The only reason anybody gave Carolina any love is because Bill. Yeah. I mean, they have 70 new players. I mean, let's face it, 70 new players. That's hard to get continuity early on. They're just a bad football team, and they don't have many good players yet now. We'll see how long Bill sticks this out. Clemson, a high underachiever, and they won, but I think that's fool's gold. Tennessee and Penn State, I think the record tells you who they are. And when they've gotten beat, they've gotten hammered. Yeah. And the score, like we said, wasn't as close, the Florida-Texas game. I'm going to go Texas because I thought they were better than Penn State anyway going in. But the only advantage is that Penn State had a veteran quarterback that came back that was supposed to be the guy to take them where they wanted to go. And Arch was getting all the pressures first start. I'm going to say Texas, probably slightly over Penn State. But what I saw UCLA tends to tell me that maybe it's Penn State. But you can pick one, and I'll take the other. And right now, I don't have 2 feet to stand on when it comes to saying these are both championship-caliber teams. Man, did we have them highly high. Three teams that were supposed to be in the final 12 mm-hmm. are three teams that should really struggle to get in because there's losses on all their schedules the rest of the way, I think, between Clemson and Clemson probably has a better chance to run the table than any of them because the conference they're in. But between Penn State and Texas, you can forget it, man. I don't see either one of them running the table.
Yeah, it's just for me, it's Texas. I think it's pretty clearly Texas. I thought Texas, and maybe I overthought the whole Arch Manning thing. Maybe I just
thought he would walk in and be good. Yeah.
But I just don't, and I never trust James Franklin. Never have, never will. I will never trust that Penn State team as long as James Franklin is leading them.
And I trust Sark. I trust Sark.
Listen,
they lost a bunch of offensive linemen, which is really – if you're not physical in the SEC offensively, you're in a bad way, brother, because the defenses will destroy you. I'm going to tell you what, the Miami Hurricanes, Oregon Ducks, Ohio State Buckeyes right now, that's about as good as it gets right now with all three of them. And I was impressed again with Miami. It's a good football team, man. Really is. And they're physical.
Let's not forget the game of the weekend, this coming weekend. Trojans, Wolverines. I think at 2:30.
Are you guys going to run it like 400 times on us?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, great.
Yeah, because our fucking wide receivers don't catch the ball. Bryce Underwood. Quick rant. Bryce Underwood is so damn good. You watch that kid, you just see it. You can watch, and you watch
all these football IQ college. Too.
Yes. I mean, and he can run in between the tackles like Cam Newton. He gets outside like Josh Allen. He's got a cannon of an arm, and he's hitting these receivers. I mean, just dead in the hands, and they're just dropping them. He's got 25 drops this year on him.
It's a high school All-American quarterback who's got a bunch of freshman wide receiver, and they can't catch it.
Yeah.
And that's my only thing with him, though. The one thing, the next level is experience, playing more.
Right.
But to learn how to layer and touch, throwing checkdowns 120 is going to get you in trouble. He just needs to learn. But their job's to catch it. But once he starts to learn that everything doesn't have to be you don't have to wear out your arm throwing 100 every pitch, he's going to get better. But good gracious, is he skilled? And I have a hunch Michigan might run it 50 times against my team to test them, the Trojans. Yet I don't know yet about the Trojans defense just yet, right? Because they were tested really last time and they got mauled by now good running and good quarterback. It concerns me because I know what Michigan's going to do, and you and I both do. The question is, can we match it on the other side, protect our quarterback? I still, the jury's out for me, and still, is SC's defense physical enough to handle the Big Ten teams that play downhill? And this will not be an easy one again, playing against your team. It concerns me. Yes.
Yeah. We'll break that down later in the week, because it's our biggest game of the year, because it's us too. And it's our teams. And
yeah, I can't wait to see it, Sage, but I'm confident, but I'm not arrogant when it comes to, well, I think we could score, but the question is time of possession, maybe 40 to 20 or whatever it is, which concerns me in this one too.
Justice Haynes has arguably been the best back in America to start this season. So
And then you start keying on him, and your quarterback can do a lot of damage on the perimeter and big plays out of play action. He just needs, once he learns a little bit of touch, which he'll get some feel, he'll get an idea, but they lay the ball too. They have too many balls that are caught and dropped by them that they're going to have to against a team that has a quarterback that's playing well on the other side as well.
Yes. Maiava is a fantastic talent. And he's a guy that I think, you know, when all said and done, he could be a high draft pick in the NFL
draft because of just what we're seeing.
Yeah, that West Coast with him and Dante Moore, I think those guys are, I want to say, two of the best quarterbacks we have in the country.
If you just judge them by performance this year, they're two of the best we have in the country right now.
Yes, so, no doubt. Definitely two teams to watch. But we'll be back tomorrow. I want to get into this Mark Sanchez thing tomorrow. I'm kind of waiting to see what more information.
Get it right. Don't get it first, Sigs. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting on. I agree. Had
the felony report come out this morning right before the show. So I want to see if what more comes out today on that. We'll talk more NFL. I want to talk more about the fact that we don't have an elite team. I think that it's just a lot of average football with some really, really bad football. It's a bottom. Yeah, I'm with you, Detroit. And again, go back to the quarterback conversation we had. Jared Goff was a bust. He was, even though he went to a Super Bowl, he was a bust. And they had to trade him. And they got Matt Stafford for him. And now he's been Stafford's better.
Both teams got something good in that. They did. Yes. It's rare that both teams win in a trade. Especially at that position, both teams won in a trade at that position.
Yeah.
They just did. It was good for both teams to move on from their current situations, and it's paid off a little better for the Rams because they won the Super Bowl, and I know Detroit has those aspirations.
And last thing I want to talk about tomorrow, we had the discussion late last week. I think it was Thursday, about what coaches should be fired in college football. I threw out Luke Fickle. I threw out Deion Sanders. We talked about, is Dabo in trouble? Is Billy Napier, who now probably not that much in trouble, getting that big win over Texas? And then we have all the openings. Tomorrow there's another guy that I think we have to talk about. It's due to on-the-field and off-the-field bullshit that he continues to pull, along with someone else very close to him.
Okay, and I'll give you one in the NFL that I'm shocked he made it through the day.
Okay.
And that's in Miami. We'll discuss him as well.
Yes.
How about that one? How about, I'm shocked he made it through the day. I'll just leave it at that.
We could have done a 7-hour show today with everything we had. Yeah. And it's just, there is so much going on in sports, and we didn't even really hit on the Major League Baseball playoffs a lot. So it's we got hockey starting. That's preseason's going, and NBA is getting ready to kick off. College basketball is getting ready to kick off. We got a lot of stuff coming in the next few months that I think it just continues to get better.
Right. Promise me as we go that this week or tonight that we won't see a guy drop the ball before he gets in the end zone. Can I please?
I can't promise
ask you that. Players to stop. I can't either. And that's my head will explode. It will literally explode if that happens. I can't take it. Anyway, good stuff, brother.
If it happens tonight, tomorrow's show leading off is going to be fireworks. If it happens again, I mean,
it's becoming a fireable offense. It just is.
It is.
It is.
You cut on the spot. I don't care who you are. Yeah. I don't care who you are. And then I also want to talk about the Eagles.
If Josh Allen does it, you might want to do it, but he wouldn't do it.
Right.
He wouldn't do it. That's the
IQ. The IQ. Football IQ is the most important thing in the game right now. And it seems like we're struggling in that across the board.
The problem is teams and players right now, a lot of them don't have it. And it's a problem.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, 12. Go vote on the poll question at Unpaved on Rumble. You can follow Sean at Sean Unfiltered, me at Adam G. Sager. Thanks to Coach JB for joining us as he does every Monday. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Again, we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We'll get right into it right at noon Central. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.